Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today, the day of the resurrection of our Lord, is our first lesson, the book of Acts, chapter 10, beginning at the 34th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, You probably know that when the Christian faith first appeared on the scene during the time of the Roman Empire, that our faith ran into a boatload of opposition, a boatload of hostility. No doubt you also have heard about the persecution of Christians and their being thrown into the arena and that sort of thing. And the justification that their persecutors gave for such actions was that Christians were atheists. They were atheists because they would not worship the gods of Rome. They wouldn't worship the Roman gods. Now, we want to understand that the Romans weren't all that different from us. They were very keen on their nation and their empire, and they wanted what was best for it because their empire had brought to them a way of life, of wealth and power, and a high standard of living. And it had provided for them ways for people of ambition to satisfy their desire, to satisfy their desire for status and for glory and for fame and for public service. Their empire made them number one in that part of the world, and they had all of the confidence and self-assurance that comes with that. And they came to the conclusion, as superstitious people often do, that the reason for their amazing success was due to the fact that they served their gods. They served their gods with proper worship. And with all that put together, all of a sudden, along comes a small new religion, populated mostly by slaves and women, and that's the way they would have looked at it, people from the lower strata of society, and these folks will not worship the gods. They won't worship the gods, and if they don't worship the gods, if you don't worship the gods will become angry, and the gods will no longer protect us. They will no longer preserve and prosper our nation and our people. You have to worship the gods. Now, if you want to worship Jesus, that's great, as long as you worship the gods together with him. But to worship Jesus alone, to call him alone the Lord, to call him alone the way and the truth and the life, that was not going to fit the bill. And it didn't help a whole lot that Christians responded like the Lord Jesus did before Pontius Pilate when he said that his nation was not of this world. And it didn't help a whole lot that Christian people said, well, we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. It didn't help a whole lot that they said, we are looking for a city in a world that is an awful lot more solid than Rome, or than America, or whatever nation you would be a part of. You talk like that, and that's not going to play too well. I told you about those Christians. They're a bunch of atheists. Well, our message doesn't really play any better today, because it is sort of an article of faith among many, even though it's contradictory. It is sort of an article of faith among many people nowadays that all religions and all belief systems are equally valid. And to that we would say, certainly. Certainly, if the purpose of religious belief is to address the human feeling that there's something more out there, if that's what it's for, then by all means, and I'll be the first to say it, pick whatever belief system you want. Pick what you want, whatever you would choose. There's a lot of interesting ones out there. One of them will do just as well as the other. And if the purpose of religious belief is to provide people with an impulse to do good to others and to act with charity, then let me tell you again, pick whichever one you want. Whatever belief system you want to follow. You want to give to the Red Cross? You can give to the Red Cross. You want to give to the Red Crescent? Because it's the same thing for Muslim folks. Go ahead and give to the Red Crescent. One is as good as the other. And if you believe that the purpose of religious belief is to provide a person with mental health and emotional health and spiritual well-being, there's all sorts of studies that have affirmed that to be true. And again, pick whatever belief you want. One of them will do as well as the other. And if you believe that religious belief is there to provide a moral compass, to guide life, especially for those who are young, those who are children, to set them on the right path of life, then once again, pick whatever belief system you want. One of them will do as well as the other. But before you make your pick, before you choose, I would remind you of why we are here today. We said at the beginning of service, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Now, that event is an obvious miracle, but there are many miracles in God's holy word. What sets this one apart? What sets it apart is that it is incredibly unique, because if you look throughout history, you will find all sorts of religious leaders or prophets or wise men or wise women, many of them in the Bible, and their graves dot the planet, but not his. His is empty. Today's lesson, what did St. Peter say when he was talking about the Lord Jesus? He said, "This one the Father raised on the third day." And then he said, "This is the one marked out by the Father." In other words, underlined, line under his name, a box put around his name. He's highlighted, we would say today. Marked out by God the Father himself. Now that's not the first time that happened. When Jesus was baptized, the voice of the Father spoke from heaven and he said, "This one here," not over there, not over there, "this one right here is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And a little later, when Jesus was transfigured, his appearance changed to the glory of heaven before his disciples, the Father's voice spoke again. And he said, "This one is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And all of Jesus' miracles that he did throughout all of the Gospels, delivering people from Satan, they all testified, like today's lesson says, that the Father was with him. "This one is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And you go through the Old Testament, you see all the prophets. They speak for the Father and they bear witness that, again I quote, "We receive forgiveness of sin through his name." Not that one's name, the one that came before his name, but through his name. And so the words that Peter said, "We bear solemn witness." We take an oath. We bear solemn witness that this is the one marked out by the Father as the judge of the living and the dead. Like the scripture says, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Not the judgment seat of some other leader or teacher or prophet or preacher. We stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ on the last day, one belief will not do as well as the other. You can't say, "I'll just pick and choose what I desire." And recognize that knowing that there's something out there, or knowing that you have an impulse to do good to others, or you want to find a moral compass or a framework to live by, or you want to find mental and emotional and spiritual health and well-being, if that's what you're looking for, I would say to you, that stuff is weak. Those are temporary answers to temporary problems. What are you going to do? Stand before God with spirituality? Will that work? What are you going to do about your sins? Our God is a consuming fire, the Bible says. It says, the soul that sins, it shall die. And then it goes on to say, words of great comfort, there is one thing that will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. One thing that makes us complete and clean and totally righteous before our Heavenly Father. There's only one place to find it, in the Lord Jesus. In the life of the Lord Jesus that takes the place of, let's be honest, your miserable life and mine. Not only the life of Jesus, but the death of Jesus that counts in place of your death and mine. That's the only place a Christian person can put their faith. That we have peace with God, as the scripture says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so maybe those ancient Romans were right in a way. We Christians are sort of atheists. We can't accept other gods, other paths, other ways, other truths. Not because we want to pin the tail on somebody else's religion. It's just that this is too serious a business. It's something that involves our eternity. And no human thing, no human method or motive or creed is going to solve the problem of your sin before the judgment seat of Christ. Only God the Father can solve that, and he did. He took his son, and he said, this is the one. He marked him out and highlighted him, and underlined underneath his name and put a box around him, and just in case you missed it. And the Father said, I am with him. And the Father raised him on the third day. And the Father said that through him was forgiveness of sins, that through him was peace, that the judge of the living and the dead would be him. And the resurrection of Jesus from the dead tells us all of that. One belief will not do as well as the other. There is only one who saves, only one who redeems, only one who washes you clean. That's Jesus our Lord. And we know that because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.